What is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliff. It's Friday, August 2nd. Preseason officially underway, baby. Not the most exciting Hall of Fame game, but I mean, what'd you expect? Did you expect a barn burner? It was still, hey, it's NFL football, and now it's officially on because we know preseason football is really a great time of year for DFS. I like preseason DFS more than I like regular season DFS because I think there's still enough of an advantage for a sharp player that you can actually still make some money. I mean, hey, regular season DFS is hard to make money. We know that. But you can make some money in the preseason if you're paying attention and you're really focused on who's going to be out there on the field. There's an advantage because it's all about reps. It's all about who's going to be on the field for preseason DFS. But, man, it's fantasy draft season. I have my first fantasy draft live and in person tomorrow. I'm going to be in New York City for the Fantasy League of Experts, the Flex League from Jake Seeley. It'll actually be on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio as well, so you can check it on there if you're a listener. But I'll talk about some takeaways because there's some interesting folks like Eric Young is in this league, and you might know Eric from the WWE. So it's not like it's all just like industry pundits in this league. There are other folks as well. So I'll talk about some takeaways, but that'll be on Monday's pod for you. On today's show, we have another special guest for you, and I think you know this guy. If you've watched the NFL Network, you've very likely seen Michael Fabiano. He is certainly one of the most recognizable faces in the industry, so we'll have him on in just a bit here. Now, I'm going to pick his brain on, Ezekiel Elliott for sure, but just before we get to that, we're hearing, a little bit of progress, at least positive words coming out. This was late last night. Jerry Jones said, hey, he's confident that there's going to be some sort of agreement, but they're not going to cave. I mean, and of course, there's posturing in any sort of contract negotiations. He said that he is not ultimately, worried about this. The quote is, I don't think that's the best way for us to go at it at all. But as far as doing something that would disrupt and shake the base of our plans for how to keep the talent we've got here, I'm not about to shake that loose. Okay. That was all over the place, that quote. But here's the thing. When it comes to the level, and I've talked about this, and I have not changed where I'm at. I'm still at a 3 with Ezekiel Elliott. Nothing more at this point. I'm not at a 7.5 like I am with Melvin Gordon. I do think a deal gets done. Of course, if we're at August 6th, and today is August 2nd, so if we're at August 6th and a deal has not gotten done, all right, well, yeah, we're going to have to reevaluate things. So just something to think about there with Ezekiel Elliott. At this point, if I was drafting on Saturday, which I am, and I had the first overall pick, which I don't, I would still use it on Zeke. Now, granted, if I was drafting next Saturday and Zeke was not in camp, I absolutely would not draft Zeke. And, I've been talking a lot about keepers. I talked about keepers on the last podcast. Just a couple tips for how to make those keeper decisions. And I think I should just do a little addition, a little add-on to that talk here. The addition is pretty simple. If you have a keeper decision and it involves somebody like Ezekiel Elliott or Melvin Gordon, who is not in camp when you're making that decision, you can't keep that guy. Okay, so I know a lot of people are asking me about their keeper decisions right now, and I have gotten a bunch of Melvin Gordon. Would you keep Melvin Gordon? Well, here's the thing. If I have to make the decision today on August 2nd, Melvin Gordon isn't in camp, I'm not risking it. I'm tossing him back. Now, and that's the key here is we want to be as safe as possible. And there's no such thing as safety in fantasy football, but keeping Melvin Gordon is a huge risk because there is the legitimate chance that he misses some or more than just some of the season. If I was choosing with Ezekiel Elliott today, I actually would keep him on August 2nd. But then again, like I said, if it's August 6th and this dude is not in camp, after that point, if you're declaring a keeper, you can't keep him. right? So the beauty is you don't have to make your Melvin Gordon decision today. And if Melvin Gordon is on that roster, I am absolutely, if he's in camp in a Chargers uniform, ready to roll and going to play this season, then I am absolutely keeping him. If he is not, or if he's traded, by the way, which I don't think happens. It's a difficult thing to get done in the NFL. If he is not in camp, not on another roster, he's still holding out, then you can't keep him. It's just too much of a risk. I know it's a crappy decision to have to make, but it's one that, you know, a lot of folks are making or do have to make, that is, during the fantasy draft season. By the way, cool keeper content coming out at PFF.com next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Of course, I'll talk about that when it does come out. But I want to get to our special guest for today's show. Of course, he's the senior fantasy editor, fantasy analyst for NFL Media. He's an all-around cool guy, Michael Fabiano. Michael, I look at you. You're an OG. You're one of the OGs in this industry. And I've told my story on this pod a whole bunch of different times of how I got started. But how did this all start for you? Because everybody has like a really crazy path that gets them into fantasy, the fantasy industry.
Yeah, dude. So I went to college. Like ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be a sportscaster. And I kind of felt like I was going to be like on ESPN or something like that. Got my degree in TV and radio, mass media. And literally, like, could not get in anywhere. Like, I was trying to, like, mop floors at, like, local TV stations. I couldn't get in anywhere. So I had a little bit of a writing background as well. And so the company that I worked for, which had nothing to do with sports, had a newsletter. And what I mean by newsletter is, like, 10 pieces of paper stapled together. That's what it was. And I decided to write a sports column for that. Now, this is before the internet, okay? The internet sort of begins, and I move that column in a newsletter over to the internet on like these very small amateur sports websites. I think one of them was called esports.com. And like I literally would write about anything. Most of the time it was WWE or football or wrestling. It was whatever, golf. I mean, it had occasionally fantasy. And so like I literally had to like build up a mailing list. And so every time I wrote a new column on this website, I would send out an alert to people on this mailing list and say, hey, I just wrote a new column. Check it out. Had enough material to put on a resume. Saw after maybe 6 months that there was an opportunity at commissioner.com. So are you familiar with the commissioner.com or not?
I am. But I know some people who listen to this pod probably aren't.
Commissioner.com was the product that CBS Sportsline purchased, and it was like the best product in fantasy sports for a while. And now this is like the late 1990s, early 2000s, and they had an opening for a fantasy writer slash editor. And to make a long story short, they basically settled on two candidates. Me and Tristan Cockcroft, who's now with ESPN, who's like one of my best buddies. Initially, they hired Tristan. And then a couple of weeks later, they called me and said, hey, we couldn't decide between the two of you. We're hiring you both. So there I go from a newsletter at an environmental data company to writing sports columns that probably not too many people read online, to working at CBS Sportsline. And it all happened like within a year's time. And I was like living in New York, Staten Island, making $37,000 a year to begin. And I was over the moon. And it's been amazing to see sort of where the industry has gone. Because when I first got in there, I was doing player updates. I was reading through newspapers. I was reading through any sort of content that would give people an edge in terms of their, you know, their fantasy football leagues. I used to do radio interviews and be nervous. Now I was 26 years old and this was like, you know, 2000, and I'd get on the phone and I'm doing a radio interview and I'm, you know, get a little nervous. I mean, now I'm doing live TV in front of like you know, I don't know how many people. So it's really cool to see how the industry has grown, especially when we've got people like you and, you know, Mike Clay and Graham Barfield, who are like even taking the next step in fantasy football analysis. So it's been a fun ride to watch the industry grow and thrive for sure.
And we definitely have people like you to thank, and you're not alone in that. I remember the first radio interviews that I did, I was crazy nervous, and I would write down like so that for the wording, so I would say things like exactly right and not screw up. And it's you know, it's just like anything though, you do it enough times and you get used to it. But I think your story really highlights, because I know a lot of people, like, they'll see you on TV and they think like, well, you just like walked into that. And no way, like, you were grinding. You know, you were doing that when nobody was paying attention too, which I think is you know, just so important to know for anybody who wants to break into this or any industry. You gotta bust your butt. You really do.
Yeah. But it's all about that networking. I mean, like, I first did television. And it was DirecTV. It was in Minnesota. I remember Scott Engel would do it. Scott used to work with me at CBS. And I remember Scott couldn't do it, so they sent me. I was so nervous, Jeff. I don't even know how I got through it. And the one thing that I remember from that show, and it still bugs me to this day because I'm a perfectionist, is that I said that Aaron Brooks has a great repertoire with Joe Horn instead of rapport. And it still drives me nuts to this day that I screwed that up, just because it is who I am. But eventually I ended up on a CBS show. I was the first fantasy analyst to be on one of the four major networks. It was CBS, Randy Cross, and Gus Johnson. And I look back at that because I have it on DVD and I'm like shaking my head. I'm like, whoa. That was bad, man. But like, yeah, I mean, everyone's sort of, you know, at the bottom floor, and you got to just like get reps and work your way up. And you know, here we are now.
Your repertoire is my Sean Davis. So the first time I broadcasted from the NFL draft, it was Chicago. It was outside. It was freezing cold at that draft. Uh-huh. And Sean Davis came off the board. Everybody looked to me because I know defensive players, and they're like, what do you know about Sean Davis? So I was like, I have nothing. Like, I blanked on air.
Oh,
and he was,
man.
Literally, I looked at my list, literally the last freaking player that I did before I went to the draft. So he should have been freshest in my mind. And I had nothing on Sean Davis. So, all right. Hey, I appreciate hearing this story. And I think a lot of people will as well. But we got to talk some football, man, because it's football season. And I thought running back was pretty clear at the top, but apparently, you know, just when we have some nice things, we can't. Ezekiel Elliott, how are you handling this situation? You know, the way I've approached it is, it's not August 6th yet, but I know other people have moved their rankings. Like, how are you handling it? What do you think ultimately plays out here?
I'm not moving him. I have him at 2. I'm leaving him there. Mm-hmm. I can't see him missing games. Like, I don't know that this would be like an Emmitt Smith situation where he missed the first couple of games. I believe that was in 93. I just can't see it. Like, one way or another, the Cowboys and Elliott are going to come to terms. The Joneses support him. They've had a good relationship. They have really supported him during the off-field issues that he's had. You know, I've talked to people that are in the know. So the relationship is good. Just a matter of the two sides coming together and agreeing upon a number that both sides are happy with. And I mean, listen, the Cowboys know. I mean, the offense runs through Ezekiel Elliott. It's not the same situation as Le'Veon Bell was last season. It's not the same situation as Melvin Gordon. Zeke still has, what, 2 years left on his current deal. He wouldn't be a free agent until 2020, and we're not talking about franchise tag situations either. I'm less inclined to be concerned about Zeke. I'm more inclined to be concerned about Melvin Gordon, who seems like a little more dug in. There's a report that came out that his agents are now looking for a trade. And by the way, if they're listening, which they're probably not, I would love to see Melvin Gordon go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if he had to be traded. That would be tremendous. But that is a scenario where I actually could see regular season game being missed. At some point, he's going to have to come back. He has to come back because he's going to affect his free agency status. So that is a player that I'm fading until like the end of the second round. And even then, I'd be a little bit concerned, and I'd be certainly targeting Austin Eckler and at the very least Justin Jackson to handcuff that move down the line. But again, I'm less inclined to worry about Zeke than I am about Gordon at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, neither, it's not like either one of these guys is making like, you know, 15 mil a year or anything like mm-hmm. that. So missed games, like those game checks, when they don't get deposited,
yes.
you
yes.
have to figure that's going to be a big impact here. I'm with you on this one. And honestly, let me pick your brain on this. So you say you have an early first round pick, right? It's a 12 team. You get whatever, McCaffrey in, you know, your pick 1-3, you get McCaffrey. If it rolls back around and it's 2-10 and Gordon's still on the board, are you taking him there? Like I've thought through this myself, and I've thought many times, like, I'm probably going to pass on him there. Like, where are you with that?
Is Gurley there? Because like, I'd rather take Gurley, and I've actually done that where, you know, I've passed on Gordon. I've taken Gurley. I mean, like anything else in fantasy drafts, it depends on what's available, but Gordon is becoming day in and day out a bigger risk. And we've also seen in the past where players who hold out, not, I wouldn't say typically, but there have been instances where those dudes have like gotten hurt during the course of the regular season. Like we saw it with Larry Johnson. We've seen it with like Steven Jackson. We saw it with Darrell Revis. So it can happen, but end of the second round, depending on what wide receiver is there, assuming I took a running back in the first round, I may be more inclined to take that wide receiver. Again, the Gordon situation is a little bit scarier for me.
I think, like, you know, in those early picks, I've noticed this in my home leagues. People draft a lot better than they used to in the early rounds, mm-hmm. not in the middle rounds. Like the people who don't pay any attention, right? And they just print like your rankings out or my rankings out, and they show up at a draft. They're really mm-hmm. good in the first couple rounds. Like there's no value to be had because they just draft down the top, you know, the list, right? So yep. what I've been really recommending is, you know, you gotta limit your risk. And right now, the simple fact is, like, if your draft's on the 24th, let's say, and Gordon's still not in camp, that's a huge risk. It's a massive risk that we can't really take, because
it is.
Le'Veon Bell showed us last year that the unthinkable can actually happen. And I got to talk about this guy, okay? So he had a presser today where he said that he apologized. You know, we already saw the apology on social media, but he said, "I wish I could have told fantasy players to not draft me." Mm-hmm. Like, he knew he was going to have.
Why didn't he?
I know, right? And he goes, "I'm sorry for costing people money." Like, all right, I'm a person who likes to forgive, so I'm not going to hold grudges against Le'Veon Bell, but I know some people are. So, like, where are you with Bell this year in that offense?
Yeah, I've got him ranked fifth at running back. Obviously, Gurley moving down, Gordon moving down, Bell has moved up a little bit. And listen, we can't kid ourselves and think that offense is going to be nearly as explosive as the one that Bell thrived in during his time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we can't kid ourselves and think that he's going to put up that level of production. But I think he could be pretty close. And if volume is king in fantasy football, well, then Le'Veon Bell is going to be right near the top of the mountain, because he is certainly going to see more than his share of opportunities to be productive in that offense. So I'm not expecting the height of Le'Veon Bell, which we've seen, but I am expecting Le'Veon Bell to see enough opportunities to go out there and put up some very good numbers, both as a runner and a pass catcher. And we've seen him have seasons where he's catching 80 balls. He's that versatile. It's going to be very interesting to see how he fits into this Jets offense. But if Adam Gase is smart, he will give Le'Veon Bell the rock, and that's going to do nothing but also help the value of Sam Darnold, who I do think is one of those late round dart throws that you could potentially really benefit from as a QB2 this upcoming season.
Yeah, he really showed it down the stretch. Nice improvement there. And, mm-hmm. and you know what I like about a guy like Le'Veon Bell is game script really doesn't matter. You know, if they're winning, he's going to get the rock a bunch on the ground.
Exactly.
If they're losing, he'll catch 7 or 8 balls. And
yep.
It's like Saquon, you know, with Saquon, people are complaining about stack boxes. It's like, all right, well, yeah, he's going to have he'll have 110 catches this year then. Like, yeah. Who cares? Like,
exactly. And you matter. Know what, too? Like you mentioned with Le'Veon, I got a soft spot because he apologized to fantasy owners. And I love when players, especially elite players, recognize the importance of fantasy football to the sport, because it has helped grow the sport. I don't care what anybody says. And I also love he had a tweet that had a Star Wars mention in it. And if anybody knows me, like, you know, fantasy football and Star Wars are like two of my favorite things. So after those two, I'm like, dude, if I get a chance to draft Le'Veon, I'm doing it, man. I'm all in.
Yeah, we get along really well for a reason, my man. I'm a huge my wife and I last night actually were watching a Star Wars documentary, and we were fully engrossed in this thing.
See, now if I could get my girlfriend to be fully engrossed in a Star Wars documentary, then that would be something different. It actually was funny. We went and saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I highly recommend. It was awesome. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but they ran the trailer for the new Star Wars movie. And I mean, and like, I get it, like the last, you know, movie was, okay, whatever, Last Jedi. But even still, anytime that you get to see new Star Wars material on the big screen, even if it's just in trailer form, dude, I get goosebumps. Like, that's how big of a dork I am. Like, I just love it. I just love it.
There is nothing better. All right, before I get you out of here, I want to talk about two backfield situations that I find intriguing, and they're certainly getting some buzz for fantasy purposes. So first and foremost, we've got to talk about Denver. Theo Riddick now in the mix. Maybe he's more of a Booker replacement, but obviously we have Philip Lindsay coming off one of the biggest surprise fantasy seasons that we've seen in recent memory, and then Royce Freeman coming off one of the bigger disappointment seasons. I mean, this dude was a third-round pick by the end of draft season last year. So what are your thoughts on this backfield?
And because the fantasy gods are cruel, now that we're on Lindsay and a little bit off Freeman, it's going to flip the script. I mean, that's guaranteed. So in Denver, Rich Scanning, I can never pronounce his name correctly. Scangarello. And it sounds like an Italian name, so he's probably insulting because I'm an Italian. But he's like a Kyle Shanahan sort of clone. He's going to run things very close to what Shanahan did. Shanahan was with him both, I believe, in Atlanta and then in San Francisco. We know that Shanahan has typically used a featured back, but he's also liked to use a complement, like the situation with Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman in Atlanta. So I could see a scenario where Lindsay's getting 18 to 19 touches a game and Freeman's getting maybe 11 to 13 touches a game, sort of similar to the situation that Atlanta had with those two backs. I believe it was in 2016. So I feel like and Lindsay's, you know, he's not like a big dude either, you know, north-south type of runner. I don't know that he's going to be able to continue to take the pounding of a true featured back going into his second NFL season coming off a wrist surgery. So I wouldn't be surprised if Freeman ended up seeing a bigger target, a touch share out of that backfield, which to me makes him a nice, not even a flyer, but a guy that you're targeting there somewhere towards the end, middle to end of your draft. And Lindsay, who, based on what he did last season, you would think that he might be ranked a little bit higher, but I mean, he's coming off the board as a flex starter in most leagues. And in the last season, he showed that he can be much better than that, high yards per carry average, very explosive. But I think in the fantasy industry, there is that belief that there's going to be a little bit of a lean back on Lindsay's touches and maybe a little bit of an increase in Freeman's touches. So you could potentially see a committee situation similar to one that we saw with Shanahan with Freeman and Tevin Coleman.
There are some folks in the fantasy industry who are banging the Freeman drum a little bit too. And we know that can certainly, you know, hey, it's on social media, they say influencers. Well, we influence ADP by a lot of the things we say. And that can certainly, so you may not see him. I mean, a couple months ago, you might have seen Freeman in the 9th or 10th or 11th round. I don't know if you're going to see that now because that hype is certainly forming. So it's an interesting backfield. There's no doubt about it. Let's pivot to Miami, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't like running backs on potentially bad offenses. And I'm sorry, Dolphins fans, don't at me on Twitter, but I'm not crazy about the overall state of this offense for a number of reasons. And Kenyon Drake, to me, you know, the perennial disappointment, the 1 week he could be a top 10 guy, the next week he could be a, you know, the 65th running back in PPR. And then yep. Ballage is getting some buzz here. So do you think there's anything to this backfield? Like, how are you approaching these guys?
Let's not forget that Gore and Drake basically shared carries, almost split down the middle. I think Drake had like three or four more last season. And Gore is no longer there. Obviously, he's in Buffalo. And I actually talked about Ballage as one of my favorite deep sleepers last night on NFL Total Access. Terrell Davis was in studio texting Kalen to watch that I was going to be talking about him. And I really believe that if you have drafted already, you know, we've done best ball leagues and we've done mock drafts and we've done drafts that we're going to be playing out for magazines. Like, if you end up getting Ballage late, that could end up being a steal. Now, he's not a complete back. We know this. Okay. And Drake's going to see a lot of opportunities as a pass catcher. But the Dolphins, since that one half a season where Drake went nuts, last season we didn't see him play the role of featured back. He was splitting the workload with Gore. I don't know that that's going to change this season. I think it's going to be Ballage and it's going to be Drake. Drake is clearly the better fantasy option in PPR leagues without a doubt. I talked to Joe Shad, who covers the Dolphins down in South Florida, and he told me that he could see a scenario where Ballage is getting early down work and goal line opportunities. And I think that's a pretty good prognostication of what we're going to see in Miami. I don't know why the Dolphins don't see Kenyon Drake as a featured back. I have no idea, but it doesn't seem like they do. And it's going to be a committee, and it's going to be potentially a confusing committee if Ballage can be the running back that I think the Dolphins believe he can be. And the coaching staff I know in Miami does like him, and they've liked him enough to give him first team reps during camp. So some people out there who are in the zero RB crowd, which I am not a part of, but there's a lot of folks out there who do it and some have had success with it. If you're targeting Kenyon Drake, you might want to think twice, because I don't know that you're going to get what you're rolling the dice hoping to receive in return. I've seen him ranked among the top 20 running backs in PPR leagues, and I have him outside of my top 20. I have Drake somewhere in the mid 20s, and I have moved Ballage up because of potential for him to be an early down guy and a guy who's going to get more goal line opportunities in Miami. And oh, by the way, Mr. Ratcliffe, how dare you besmirch Ryan Fitzpatrick and doubt Fitzmagic and the magic of the beard? Isn't it amazing? I'm not even being overly dramatic here. Everywhere Ryan Fitzpatrick freaking goes, he starts. It doesn't matter. Like, no matter where he goes, you look at Buffalo, you look at Tennessee, you look at Tampa Bay, no matter where he's gone, Jets, no matter where this dude has gone, even if he was signed as a backup, he plays. Like, Cincinnati, same thing. I'm looking at his numbers right now, and he's played in 14, 16, 12, 11, 16, 16, 13, 10, 13. Like, he's good. Like, everyone was excited in South Florida that they had gotten Josh Rosen in the trade, and I feel like maybe long-term it could work out. But when they bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, they guarantee starts for Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I don't know if it's in his contract. I don't know what the deal is. But wherever Fitzpatrick goes, Fitzpatrick is going to start. And now it looks like Fitzpatrick is going to start week one for the Miami Dolphins. So interesting turn of events there in Miami.
Hey, he's a smart guy. We know that. We know that for sure.
And, yeah, man,
hey,
you don't go to Harvard and be a dummy. That's for sure.
The Kenyon Drake stuff, though, I mean, this is important because it sounds like his role is not going to change. And that means he's going to be volatile, as the kids like to say, AF
yes.
this season. So we may want to fade him altogether. It's good stuff.
Are you saying that he's not lit anymore?
I my wife told me I'm no longer allowed to say lit. I'm milking the AF thing, though.
I feel weird saying lit, too. I didn't even know what lit meant until like last season when Akbar, you know, told me, you don't know what lit means? I'm like, all right, tell me what lit means. That means it's good. Okay, can't you just say it's good? See, like back when I was growing up, like we would say, man, that dude is bad. And it didn't mean that he was bad. It meant that he was cool. It's weird. Strange, you know, influx of the English language there, but I digress.
There we go. We not only get fantasy football analysis from Michael Fabiano, we get cultural commentary as well. I love it. Hey, man, I really appreciate you stopping by the pod. We got to get you on again sometime soon. But in the meantime, best of luck in the fantasy football draft season.
You too, my brother. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you in some mocks here coming up pretty soon. I got to run another one for the NFL, so I will certainly be in touch. And you keep up the great work, my friend. I always tell people you're one of the best young guys in the business, and you're one of the few people that I actually follow in the industry, and you do a hell of a job.
I appreciate that a lot. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
All right, there he goes, Michael Fabiano. You probably already follow him on Twitter because he has a gazillion followers, but if you don't, it's Michael_Fabiano, F-A-B-I-A-N-O. Good stuff from him. And, you know, hey, honestly, I know a lot of people want to get into this industry. It is not an easy industry to get into, but the moral of the story is you're not going to get in overnight. I think that's pretty cool about his story of how, like, legit had no aspirations to get into the industry, and then there he was. Same with me. So pretty cool stuff there. Hey, we're rolling into the weekend here. If you have a fantasy draft this weekend, well, good luck. Enjoy it. Have fun. It's all about fun, first and foremost. And of course, go check out PFF.com. My fantasy blueprint will definitely help you out in your fantasy drafts if you have an early one here, as we're just starting August. Otherwise, remember, review the show on iTunes, and you could possibly win a free subscription. All you have to do is review the show, give us a rating, and leave your Twitter handle. Or if you don't have Twitter, if you don't use Twitter, you can just simply leave an email address in the review if that works for you too. But we're going to pick a winner, and the winner gets a subscription. It depends on what you already have. If you don't have anything, you get a year of Edge. If you already have an Edge subscription, we'll give you a month of Elite. If you already have an Elite subscription, we'll give you an extra month of Elite. So here we go. I want to pick one for today. Everybody plays, everybody wins. At Brian F. Schultz 1, you are the lucky winner, sir. Hit me up on Twitter. We'll get you hooked up. If you want to get in on this, review the pod for me. It's a huge help. Huge help. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Hashtag Rat Pack. That way I know you're a listener of the show. All right, baby. It's on. Fantasy football draft season officially kicking off tomorrow. I love it. I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for Pro Football Focus. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I am out of here.